or the church. The church of Pergamos. You pronounce it Pergamos. Pergamos, first of all, I should mention that the word, the main part of this word is gamos. And any Greek knows that gamos means marriage. So there is a union, a marriage that is going to occur that is going to be an unholy union. Well, let's see what our Lord has to say to this church. And under the angel. Now, the angel of the church, by the way, just look up here a minute just so all of you can see who yours is. There you go. The Greek word is angel or angelos. And angelos is simply a messenger, he who communicates the message. I know I don't particularly look like one in your mind, and often I don't act like one in your mind, but that is and has nothing to do with my position. I'm called the angel of Westside Bible. See, we have such confused ideas as to what an angel is. You know, you kind of think I'm going to flutter around the room with a bow and arrow in my hand, especially during our singles class, shooting our singles. I might, but it won't be with a bow and arrow. All right, until the angel, to the angel, to the messenger, to the communicator, the one who is in charge of ministering the word, write. These things says he who has a sharp two-edged sword. The sharp two-edged sword from Hebrews 4 is obviously the word of God. So anything that is going to be said is going to reflect the teachings of the Word of God. That is why it is imperative that that which characterizes this church is its name. This local assembly is called Westside Bible Church. Why? Because it's located on the west side of the Phoenix metropolitan area. It's actually a misnomer because it's on the extreme east side of Glendale. And we are in Glendale. If you walk across the street, you're in Phoenix. So it should have been called Eastside Bible Church in Glendale, Arizona. But the problem there is as soon as you said that, someone would think you were on the east side of the valley. So they opted, before I got here, to call it Westside. And then, and there's been a controversy, by the way, as to whether it's one name, two names, capitalized on west and side. And so we've simply alleviated that by saying, spell it the way you'd like. Now, we had a deacon here who was very, very irate about we separating west and side. Another who said it's one word. Another who said it's two words. Another said that the S should be small. And so I said, well, your brain is small. Let's just leave it where it is. He left too. By the way, you want an exciting time? Come to midweek classes. We're starting to see people coming in and leaving in the middle of the service. So it gets kind of exciting because then I have things to say about them either as they're going out the door or after they leave. It's an encouragement. And all I said this week was that the bald eagle was probably the stupidest bird on the face of the earth, and this guy got all upset. Which is a symbol of our country. They're a majestic-looking bird, they're a beautiful-looking bird, but they're dumb. Again, I repeat, we should have used a cat. They're smart. Much smarter than you, by the way. Its owners. The only reason you like them is because you can't figure them out. All right, back to this. Two-edged sword. He has the word of God, and everything is going to be a reflection of his word. Which says the third part Or the second part, whichever way you look at it, the name, Bible. That's what characterizes this local assembly. That's all we're going to teach. That's all we're going to get involved in. I'm not going to try to set you up socially. I'm not going to have young people's social organizational things. You want to socialize with other people at Westside Bible, just walk up to them, introduce themselves, yourself to them, and just go on from there. If they step on your foot and turn around and walk the other way, take it as dislike. Or maybe they're a weird brother or sister. Some people may be hard of hearing, and therefore they won't be able to hear anything you're saying. Some people just may be antagonistic. We have some of the meanest antagonistic people in the world that are at Westside. Well, some of you think you're wonderful. I'm here to tell you, you're an antagonist. You're a causer of trouble. We've got troublemakers at Westside. So, we've learned over the years there are certain things you can say around certain people, and then other people, you don't give them diddly. And they'll try to pump you for information. Why? Because they're blabbermouths. Some people sit around and they say, well, something's unfair because someone did this and someone did that and someone else did it and I didn't. Well, too bad. You see, that's the same argument they gave our Lord. It's nothing new. You're just following the same old garbage that they followed 2,000 years ago. There was a group that was hired by a certain farmer to do a certain amount of work. He was paid, or rather he said that they would be paid a certain wage. And so they worked all that time for that wage. And then at the last hour, he hired another bunch. And he paid them the same amount. And what did they do? And so we have crybabies at Westside. And people in general that are pains in the gluteus maximus. If this was Sunday evening, you'd hear something else. This part, the buttocks. Great pain. Why? Because they haven't learned to relax and just do their job as under the Lord and forget what someone else is getting and what you're not getting. See, that's what a pastor's for. Evangelists never do that. They smile at them. Our assistant pastors, they can't do that either because you haven't given them the authority to do so. So don't think because Bob is so pleasant when he's teaching you that he wouldn't be the same if he was your pastor. If he was your pastor, he would kick Gluteus Maximuses. Or is it Gluteus Maximi? No, I'm your commanding officer, you see. And therefore, I'm going to treat you like a group under my command. Some of you have no military background or whatever, so you don't have the foggiest idea what that means. Well, I'm showing you what it means. We have some of the most disciplined people in the world at Westside Bible. And we have some of the sloppiest thinking, and some of them, by the way, are intelligent, but they're still sloppy thinking. And they look around and they see somebody that has something that they don't have, and they cry about it. The next time you start screaming unfair, go back and read that parable, would you? And what did the farmer say? Here's what the farmer said. This is the Lord, of course. And he's talking about people that have received the same salary for having worked only one-tenth of the time. And he said, what is that to you? Number one, mind your own business. Number two, I'm the boss. And if I will that they be paid twice as much as you, that's my business, not yours. You contracted to work so much for so much, and I decided to pay them the same amount. That's my business, not yours. Anybody ever complain about the fact that you're working a job and somebody comes in and doesn't have the experience that you have, and their starting salary is the same as you're working, and you get ticked? How dare they? Do you sign the checks? Does the money come out of your pocket? Then shut up! Work your job as under the Lord for what you hired on to do. Oh, there must be somebody here that I'm talking to. I've never gotten that much across so fast in such a wonderful period of time. So we must have a bunch in here that like to sit around and complain. Well, folks, don't you see that's the kind we have? Which says that we have a lot of people that are neutral. Because see, when you're neutral, you have a lot of time to think about the wrong things. When you're advancing to maturity, once you start entering into spiritual adulthood, you know, the world is just whizzing by, and you're saying to yourself, who cares? You might as well throw your watch away because it's meaningless. Although I gave mine up because of my arthritis, not because of the factors involved. Pergamos, I know your works and where you dwell. Where do they dwell? Where was the church? The church was where Satan's throne was. Now, I've wrestled with this over the years. I don't think our Lord is suggesting that Satan's throne was in the church, but it was creeping in. I would suggest to you that the church was located where we are today in Cosmos Diabolicus. In other words, outside of the confines of the protection of the local assembly and the fellowship of believers within the divine dynasphere, we've got a vicious activity of satanic movement and demonic movement attempting to destroy local assemblies. And we're seeing that even from government. And I say, even from government, as if we looked upon government to be pure and righteous. The government today is satanic. You must appreciate that. It's demonic. It's the system that is totally controlled by the demon world. But we're in it. And we can't fight it. But look out. Watch this. You can't join it either. You say, well, isn't that neutrality? No, I mean fight it openly. You can fight it spiritually. How? By protecting yourself from it. Remember the one who holds the two-edged sword? That's your protection. The Word of God. So if you're too busy sitting around complaining about this one and that one and the other one, you're not applying any doctrine. You're not doing much. By the way, you're out of fellowship. That's sin. That's sin. Let's call it what it is. You say, no, I feel that I'm being treated unfair. Oh, really? Well, give me a verse that says, in the devil's world, you're ever going to be treated fairly. Can you imagine the church of Pergamos? This church that was under maximum tribulation saying, well, I don't think it's fair that we should be subjected to Antipas and all of this business for 10 years or 10 weeks or 10 whatever. No, they didn't complain. Who could have been the biggest complainer on the face of the earth? Second, of course, to the Lord Jesus. Oh, he was treated fairly, wasn't he? The judged him? The priests that accused him? That was all fairness, right? The Apostle Paul, was he always treated fairly?
Where do you ever get the idea you're going to be treated fairly in the devil's world? Relax. See, it's Satan's throne. That's why we will never, ever sing that song in the hymn book called "This Is My Father's World." Because it isn't. Unless it happens to be yours, it's not mine. This is the devil's world. He's got total and full control of it. He's trying to manipulate the rulers of this world like you would try to manipulate chess pieces. Of course, the king on the other side, he's not going to checkmate him. He's just going to wipe him out. All his pawns, all his pieces are just going to dissolve one day in power. And they'll all end up in the lake of fire. And that's fair. Why don't you try occupying your mind with things that are positive instead of sitting around complaining about things that you don't like what other people are doing, that you have nothing to do with anyway and no control over? Hey, if I was a boss, let me tell you something. You ought to be thankful, by the way, that some of you are not working for me. Here's my philosophy. I hire you to do a job. Number one, I want you to do that job. You don't do it, you're fired. Secondly, if I hire somebody else and I pay them the same amount that I paid you when you started, and you start complaining, you're fired! You wouldn't last a minute. I'd have you in my office and I'd say, oh, you don't like the idea? Good, now you have no money coming in, jerk. That's like these baseball players. I'll tell you what we should do with that. If we could, if people were smart enough in this country, no one goes to the stadiums at all. Say, oh, you guys were making $1.2 million on an average a year, decided to strike for more wages. Well, now the American people are going on strike. You see how fast those salaries would be reduced down to $7 an hour.
But we won't do that, because this is the way we are in this country.
Yeah. Boom!
We get hit on one side, we just turn around and get hit on the other side. Somebody steps on us and we apologize. I'd hate to think what would ever happen if this country ever had to go to war again. I can hear them now.
Well, I don't like the looks of this weapon. It's heavy and it's smelly. What do you mean I have to get up at 5 in the morning? I've never gotten up at 5 in the morning.
Can you believe that? If some ranking officer would walk in and you hear a tap, huh! And then all of a sudden a guy goes, why? Well, that's what the kids do today. They're just a bunch of whiners. And I don't mean tipping. I mean complaining. Hey, by the way, did you ever wonder why your children whine so much? Because you do it.
My kids never whine. You know why? It's obvious, isn't it? My kids never walk in and go, oh, Dad, that's unfair.
Now, here's what they would do.
Oh, Dad.
Boom! That's it. Then the second time they go, oh, boom! See? Third time they go,
and that was it.
Some of you people complain. And you say, that's neutrality, people. That's neutrality. Here's another one. All right, let's go. So you're in a foxhole. It's been dug it as a trench. And you're standing there and you're on the firing line. You look over on the long side, and I'm right here. How much are you getting for this? What? How long have you been in? A week? Well, I've been in 10 years, and you're making the same amount that I am. Oh, that's going to make those two very effective, isn't it? In the meantime, there's a bullet coming your way. Because you don't have your eyes sighted on the enemy. You've become your own enemy.
I think some of you have taken too literally that a command is not happy unless it's complaining. I don't want to hear it. Put a halt to it now. Whoever you might be. And if there's no one here that has that problem, take it as a warning of what might happen if you open your mouth. That's the way it is. I know your works and where you dwell, where Satan's throne is. And you hold fast to my name. By the way, circle that. And did not deny my faith, even the days of Antipas and my faithful martyr, who was killed among you where Satan dwells. But I have a few things against you. Here's a characteristic. If you understand it in the light of what is said, there's an Old Testament reference here. Here's what you've done. You're holding to the doctrine of Balaam, who took Balak to put a stumbling block before the children of Israel. Do you remember Balaam and the donkey? Huh? Balaam was hired as a prophet to prophesy against Israel. And so there he is on his donkey, and he's going along, and all of a sudden, the donkey turns around and says, "You better not do that." Whoa!
I've always been encouraged by that, because any preacher who thinks he's really something ought to remember that God spoke through an ass. And some of you who think your words are so profound...
See, I've told you before that God could even speak through rocks if he wanted to. And sometimes he does. Stone-headed people.
So this donkey was used by God to rebuke Balaam. But what was his problem? He was a hireling.
What's a hireling?
All right, this is going to get some of you, because this is what you are. Are you ready for this? A hireling is one in Christian service who doesn't do their job because of the job or their love for the Lord regarding that job, but they do it for any other reason. A pastor.
Let's start with him. The pastor who does what he does in his ministry only for the money. That's a hireling. Not his love for the sheep. And certainly not his love for the Lord. A parent that only parents their child because of what they're going to get in their older years. Hey, you raise your kids with the idea that you're going to benefit from them as you get older, what a disappointment you're going to have. Because with that attitude, they're going to be worse than you ever were. Now, you raise your children to be fit members of society, to learn, to love their wives and their husbands, but most important, to love the Word of God
and the Lord Jesus Christ. And then everything else will fall in its place. But I know parents that say, well, I've put in a lot of work in my children so that when I'm older, they can take care of me.
Boy, I waited for my kids to take care of me. I'm still taking care of them. And you say, when do you cease to take care of them? When I'm dead. And I don't expect them to take care of me at all.
That's a hireling. And that was the error. They did what they did for personal gratification and for the applause of the multitudes. It was rough stuff. Now, I said to my wife this morning, I said, I'm going to tell you what two things are here, because I know I will get to it this morning. And therefore, I want you to know what these two things are. But I'm not going to get to it this morning. Now, up till now, I'm sure that most of you have been following along and you're, well, you say it's pretty good. That is, I understand it. How about verse 17? Tell me you don't need someone to teach you from the original languages, in this case, the Greek of the New Testament, what this means. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says, or saith, as the King James has it, to the churches. To him who overcomes, here's the reward, hidden manna to eat. He's given a white stone, and on it a new name written, which no one except he who receives it knows. Now, since you all understand that, we'll just move on to the next one. Now, some of you aren't coming out tonight, and you know what? You'll never know what the hidden manna and the little white pebble is all about. That's a reward. That's a reward in eternity for the overcomers. Not the neutral ones. Not the ones that are defeated. Not the ones that are sitting around and complaining. Oh, no. The overcomer. Hidden manna? Little white pebble, and then something's written on that pebble. What's it called? A new, what? Name. We'll take that up tonight. The new name. And by the way, that new name is also going to appear in the Book of Life. I'll show you that tonight. We'll talk about the Book of Life. Where was it written? For whom was it written? Who's in it? Who's not in it? Why? What else is written in it other than your name?
By the way, if you're a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, your name's in the Book of Life. But there's another name that's going to be added to it. That's the one that's written on that white pebble. And no one knows it except you.
I'll say no more. I wish I could have gotten into that this morning, but I was too busy chewing out somebody. Three or four people here who think they should get more. Well, aren't you just satisfied with what you have and be content? That'll make you happy. And you know what?
This is really strange. You'll make other people happy too.
Tonight, do you have the new name? Tonight, are you going to eat of the hidden manna? We'll see. Our Father, we're thankful and grateful for the time that we've spent together. Thank you for our being able to see from the churches that have existed in times past characteristics of that which exists today. Same problem, same situation, and how we praise thee that thy word has the answer for all of them. And we can succeed, and we can be relaxed, and we can be happy in time if we're content in thee. Dismiss us now by the challenge of these things, we pray in Christ's name. Amen. We'll see you tonight.